Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, April 28th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command. Have you heard of TDX? Listen, Orbital Command is putting together the Terra DAP Expo on June 9th and 10th in Austin, Texas. Not Boston. I know, that's what I thought. Austin. Austin, Texas. Come get doxxed IRL and share merriments with all of your favorite fellow lunatics and lunatics. For more information, go to terradapexpo.com or hit the menu item on the site right here on terraspaces.org. And as always, be sure to check out Orbital Command online at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For more information, check out terraspaces.org/sponsors. Today on The Ether, the Levana Protocol Token Generation Event. Let's take a listen.
Hey everyone, Beach Dragon here. Thanks so much for your patience. Just one more minute. I'm just waiting for Karis to be able to join and then we'll get started. In the meantime, feel free to post any questions or last minute requests into the channel that we opened up in Discord specifically for this AMA. Okay, we'll get started super fast.
Okay, testing my audio. Can you guys hear me now?
Yay!
Okay, wonderful.
The big brain has joined us.
It only took 10 minutes. I don't know. It's a let's call it a medium brain. Okay. All right. I think we're ready to get started. Beach, you want to kick us off and let me pull up, the doc and the Twitter thread and we can jump right into it. I know everybody's excited and I think we have some great questions, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely. I can't figure out if it's me or you with the ambulance.
No.
All right, everyone.
Yeah, I apologize. I'm hiding in a car on the side of a major thoroughway. So I apologize. I had hoped I'd be able to take this from a dark field, but it wasn't that. Just didn't work out.
No worries. All right. So welcome everyone to our weekly AMA. Hosting is myself, Beach Dragon, Mimi, along with Jonathan Karis, the head of comms for Levana. We're going to be talking about Levana's token generation event, our TGE, which is coming fast and furious at us. We're currently aiming for somewhere around the second week in June to launch. Again, those dates are flex and may adjust as things happen, but that's our current that's our current goal. And we're super excited to hear your feedback. We launched yesterday with quite a long blog. So apologies for people that didn't want to read. But as my friend Trevor pointed out, you can actually have Medium play it for you. And it will create an audio file that you can just listen to. So that's a really great feature of Medium. If you're not familiar with it, check it out. So you can exercise to Levana's Medium posts. And that's it. So I'm going to hand the floor over to Jonathan. We're excited to answer your questions that you've posted in the Discord. And as things come up during the AMA, if you have more questions, feel free to jump over to the Levana Discord. We have a specific channel that we set up and we want to hear from you. And thanks so much for joining us. We're glad you're here.
Okay, let's do a simple sound check because I heard that there's a difference in our audio volume. So can I get some feedback from the community if I can be heard all right? I am on a Bluetooth speaker, and to be honest, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to talk into the steering wheel or into the shade blind, or I'm not sure exactly where to talk.
No, that's bad. Wherever you just moved to, don't do that.
Okay.
Go back.
How about this? Is this okay?
That's perfect.
Okay.
Can you stay there?
Yes, wonderful. We'll do this.
Awesome.
All right.
Okay.
So great. So we are we're getting started. We've got you know, we've got a bunch of interest getting started with what is Lavana. So I think that we should start with what is Lavana. You know, Lavana is an acronym for Leverage Any Asset. And we are a Terra, you know, we have, you know, made out of many core members of the Ethereum community and of the core, even predating Ethereum, to the Bitcoin and just in general blockchain community. And we, you know, I can speak for myself here, is that in looking at the growth of Ethereum and the dependency on centralized stablecoins, because really at the end of the day, stablecoins are the key product of any financial ecosystem. Anytime that you want to have a bridge between real world economics and crypto economics, the only way to do that is through stablecoins. And if we are, you know, if we're intending to create a new financial ecosystem that's going to attract hundreds of millions, if not billions, of people, so then it's going to be founded on the basis of stablecoins. Now, just as a reminder, there's three ways to make stablecoins. One is that you can have a completely centralized approach, which is called a banker coin. So that's where we lock coins in a bank, and that could be like paper money, that could be debt, that could be, you know, gold bullion. It doesn't matter what it is, but we lock something in a bank, which is centralized, and then we mint on the blockchain either dollar delimited assets or some type of similar assets that are, again, blocked by or backed by some type of centralized entity. And then we use that as our medium of exchange and unit of account. And the problem there is it's kind of like, what's the point? Like you just reintroduced institutionalized the current banking system. So popular implementations of that are Terra USDT and Circle USDC, which represent really, you know, above 99% of all economic activity on Ethereum. And that's what led me personally to separate myself from the growing Ethereum ecosystem. And then now there's a stronger decentralized approach, which is called debt denominated stable coins. So that's where you take, that's the pioneer for that was MakerDAO, where they created DAI, which is where you take initially was the ETH token, and for every $2 worth of ETH, you could mint $1 worth of DAI, which was a debt vehicle. The problem with that is that it's not capital efficient, and as it's grown in order to create stabilization, so they've opened it up to become multi-collateral DAI, which presents a lot of challenges, because now you have about a third of the backing of MakerDAO, which is banker coins. So it's like, again, what's the point? We're not here to just reinvent the existing banking ecosystem. So then the third opportunity to create medium of exchange and unit of accounts, which is what stablecoins are, is algorithmic. So the most successful, really, just to put a pause at it, let's be honest, let's call a spade a spade, the only successful algorithmic stablecoin is Terra. Every single other attempt to create an algorithmic stablecoin has failed miserably. But what Doquan created, what has been the basis of the Terra ecosystem, has been the most revolutionary financial utility that humanity has ever seen. And I believe personally that the vision that was created through the group that went under the moniker of Satoshi Nakamoto in the creation of Bitcoin is being fulfilled today through the adoption of UST via the Terra ecosystem. So again, I want to preface everything that we're doing here at Levana as saying that we're not trying to create a meme. We're not trying to create an app. We're not trying to create a game. We're trying to create a funnel which will open the world of finance and bring it into the world of crypto to uphold and to support the value drivers that crypto represents, which is self-sovereignty and individual freedom. So again, I apologize for starting with such a preachy statement before I get into what all of you are here, which is like Wind Token. So I know Wind Token is a very popular meme, but I think it's very important that we just pause to talk about why Levana, why Terra, and why is it so important that we build something that focuses on mass adoption and consumer outreach. So I'll step off my soapbox now because I know that I probably pissed off a lot of you, and let's just jump into what we've been doing at Levana. So Levana was started roughly a year and a half ago. It came out of the Delphi Labs incubator. So Delphi Labs, if you're not familiar with it, is the most impressive and prestigious crypto analysts, crypto investors, crypto algorithmic writers. Delphi has single-handedly created over $100 billion worth of value within the crypto space. And, thank God I have had the opportunity over the last 2 years to work with so many smart people within the Delphi framework or umbrella. So what have we done? I don't want to take any credit for any of this. All of this hard work that has happened at Levana has been through through sleepless nights by people like Beach and her team and many of the other people and the artists and the developers. And I have the easiest job. I just get to come on and just to talk about all the cool stuff that's being built. So back in November, so that was roughly almost 6 months ago. So the Levana team released the most innovative NFT launch with not just within the Terra ecosystem, but within the crypto ecosystem as a whole, which was the Meteor Shower. The Meteor Shower was essentially a silent auction, which allowed for people to be able to bid on a live action role play of the story of Levana, which is the story that takes place roughly 500 years in the future of a totalitarian government that has enslaved the last of humanity on a colony of Mars. They're called the Council. They enslaved a group of people called the Terrans. They used the enforcement of the Guardians to maintain their power. And then they have a loose trade and peace agreement with the free Martians who, in our narrative, are like the red pilled crypto natives that have already broken away from the control of the Council. So we created this Meteor Shower, which is a way to help define the community. We had over 6,000 people participate. Today, there currently are roughly 10,000 people that are still participating. So it's been amazing to see the growth over this time. And we've culminated everything in this educational entertainment experience, which is called the Faction War, which is where you're able to identify, based on your personality trait, which part of the narrative really draws to you. And then you can interact in this educational process where you learn about things like how blockchains work, how testnet works, how governance works, how cyber resistance and cyber attacks work, how bots work, and programming smart contracts and interacting with smart contracts. We put a lot of effort into educating the audience in the core functionality that really should be a requirement for any DAO community, but specifically is the unwritten requirement or expectations of those that are you know, standing up and participating and becoming the founding members of the Levana DAO. So for the past roughly 5 weeks, we've been running these edutainment games of the faction war, which is still open for you to participate in. And this is all culminating at the token event of at the token distribution event of the TGE for Levana. So we're going to talk a little bit now about how this works. And now I'm going to run through the tweet thread that was sent out about 13 hours ago. And there's a more in-depth blog post, which will come to market with a shorter blog post, and then a summary video, which Danku is going to help us produce, and then a few animated shorts, just to ensure that everybody, based on your optimized learning methodology, will be able to really understand what it is that we're trying to accomplish here. So again, what is it that Levana is that we are a collection of DeFi and GameFi dApps, which we are designed to create an onboarding funnel to bring a massive audience into Terra. And this is the same way that if you look at Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter brought on a massive audience to nothing, to literally nothing, to just, you know, whether, or even Game of Thrones, to just purely entertainment. So we're trying to tap in on that human desire to be delighted and surprised and entertained through narrative-driven stories, and then use that as a tool and a mechanism to educate people on the value drivers of crypto and really the freedom that crypto enables. So what have we done to date? We've created the most capital efficient and I wouldn't call it robust because it's still a minimal viable product, but definitely the most capital efficient and most flexible decentralized exchange on the Cosmos ecosystem. And that's built on Terra, and that's a perpetual swap exchange. And it's in testnet today. We have one asset that's listed. You can play with it through beta.levana.exchange, and that is Levana's perpetual swap, which is live on testnet. And we've had over $100 million of testnet UST traded on this platform, which might sound trivial because it is testnet, but if you think about it, the faucet, the testnet faucet, only divvies out about 500 UST on testnet. So the fact that we've had over $100 million traded on this means that the most important eyeballs within not just the lunatic ecosystem, but within the crypto ecosystem are watching what we are building, and they're very interested in what we're building. Now, our GameFi products have been equally successful. Over 10,000 participants playing 8 different play-to-earn Terra-based games that are of all different types of style. So they're trading card games. They are Mario Brothers, retro super, Nintendo or Super Nintendo style games. They're puzzle games. They're cryptography games, all different style. And I still am a bit sour that I spent like 2 days preparing these cryptographic messages that some of you guys solved in 10 minutes. Still to this day, I have no idea how you solved it so fast, but it was absolutely amazing. Now, going into our launch, we will have 70 million out of 1 billion LVN tokens. So LVN is our ticker. Now, LVN actually is an acronym. I'm not going to spoil what the acronym stands for because obviously, you know, you can just pronounce it as Levana, but we will be telling the story of Mars and actually what it's a tongue-in-cheek joke as to what LVN stands for. So I'd love to open up a competition. Maybe we could do that afterwards as to only wrong answers as to what does LVN stands for. And then maybe afterwards we'll be ready to reveal the right answer. But out of 1 billion tokens, we will have 70 million of them that will be circulating upon the token generation event. Now, the token generation event is not going to occur over one day. It's going to occur over 214 days, which sounds like a random number, but it's actually 14 days for the token generation event, which will consist of an airdrop, a lock drop, and a liquidity bootstrapping auction. Now, if you're not familiar with the term lock drop or liquidity bootstrapping auction, we're going to get into details of how those things work. And so it'll be 14 days for the actual participation and earning of tokens, and then another 200 days for the token emissions. Now, we wanted to focus on token emissions as opposed to every other blockchain project, which tends to just give airdrops at the click of a button, because we felt that, first of all, because of our buddies at Flipside Crypto, that gave us multifaceted, extensive reports demonstrating that airdrops, instant gratification means instant dumping. It doesn't allow for an emotional attachment. It doesn't allow for a narrative to be built. And it doesn't allow for an educational process where the recipient can learn about the value drivers of the platform and then decide on whether or not they want to keep their seat on this long-term journey. Because essentially every token is a long-term seat. Forget about whatever the nominal reward is for dumping a token when you first receive it. You really have to ask yourself, what is the value of governance of a platform? Because at the end of the day, these tokens represent governance on a platform. Now, if the change in the world that platform is trying to create speaks to you, then that governance will be valuable. If that change in the world that the governance represents is not valuable to you, then you might as well just dump the token. And because what Levon is trying to accomplish is novel and is challenging and is complicated, so we recognize that if we just hand out tokens on day one, then 99% of the people very reasonably will and justified and should just dump it because they have no idea what we're doing, because what we're doing is hard. It's hard to understand. So now let's look at exactly who's going to receive. If we look at these, you know, stage zero is the airdrop, stage one is the lock drop, stage two is the LBA, the liquidity bootstrap auction. So stage zero, who's going to be receiving stage zero? So it's going to be two different recipients. One is it's going to be the GameFi participants of our existing platform, meaning the people who've been playing with the games that we built around our NFTs. They're paying attention. They're following. They know how to stake. They've learned the things that we've attempted to educate them on. Those are the people that are going to be received.
Okay, well, we appear to have lost Karis for just a minute. So the point that he was trying to make is that if you have evolved your NFTs and you followed along, then you'll be a lucky recipient of airdrop tokens during the airdrop. Now, you will have to claim those tokens, and all unclaimed airdrop tokens will revert back to the Levana Treasury at a specified time. In addition to that, you'll need to have NFTs that have spirit level displayed. So NFTs, including zero spirit level dust, including PDAs at present, including eggs and meteors that have not been cracked or nested, will not be eligible. So you're going to want to evolve your NFTs to a stage where there's displayed spirit level.
So I, Beach, can you hear me now?
We can. It sounds like you're talking to us through a cave.
Oh, no. Testing 1, 2, 3. Is this any better?
Okay, that's a little better.
Okay, so we'll hopefully be able to continue from here. I haven't moved, so hopefully this is good. But thank you for jumping on the ball there.
No, hold on. We're back to like an echo chamber.
Okay. Gosh, why do they have to make the Twitter app so hard? How do I even just turn off Bluetooth here? Okay. Beach, if you could continue the conversation, give me another minute to try and figure out the technical stuff here.
Sure. So I do want to, again, invite anyone that has questions or feedback, and I apologize if my sound is too loud and Jonathan's is too quiet. I know in the Discord there's all sorts of memes going on about how I'm basically a roaring dragon right now. So I apologize for that. I'm just speaking at a normal tone. But So again, if there's any questions about the NFTs, I do want to reiterate that meteors and eggs, which are not nested, will not be eligible. Neither will zero spirit level dust. So you definitely want to make sure that you have NFTs that have displayed spirit level and that you've participated in the faction wars. At the end of the faction wars, your talismans will be awarded with the rewards from the faction wars, and that will make you eligible to receive an airdrop. And again, as I've reiterated in previous AMAs, there is no there's no loser in the faction wars. Like, even if you're in the loserest of factions, you're still going to be rewarded with points. So and with the rewards. So if you're thinking now about switching to another faction, the wars have gone on for quite a while, it's going to be better for you to be a full participant in a losing faction than a very partial participant, you know, just for the last 2 weeks or something in a winning faction. So I wouldn't recommend that.
Yeah. So, okay. I just switched my audio. Hopefully this is better. Can somebody give me some feedback on that?
That's perfect. Awesome. That sounds great.
All right, wonderful. Sorry for the previous rant with poor quality audio. So yes, it is, it's about playing the game, not necessarily winning it. So this is a moral for life. This is a moral for economics, for startups, and definitely for the faction wars and for the LVN airdrop. So to just get into it, so we mentioned that there's going to be 10 million LVN tokens, which are going to be distributed for the airdrop. So the majority of that is going to go to Lavana GameFi participants. Also, we've worked with Flipside to create a better distribution method than what we think is found within the Luna stakers, which have over a 95% likelihood of just dumping your tokens. Also, it's ridden with whales because that's how staking works. You know, staking tends to congeal around large wallets. You know, the next thing to emphasize is kind of the token generation event timeline. So initially, it will be the airdrop of 10 million tokens, which will be locked tokens, but they'll be distributed to the ownership of various wallets. Then there will be the lock drop, which will be a farming event that will kick off the liquidity for the perpetual swap risk fund. So that will be 35 million LVN tokens will be allotted to that. So now the first question is, why is it 10 million tokens to the airdrop, but yet 35 million to the lock drop? So I'm going to address that because I think that is the elephant in the room. And I think that we need to be fully transparent and like get behind that as to where those numbers came from. Next is the LBA, the liquidity bootstrap auction, which has 15 million Lavana tokens allocated to it. And then following that, there's going to be two stages of unlocks. So initially, there's going to be the earlier unlock of tokens for those that do participate in liquidity bootstrapping. And then and that will happen over the course of 100 days, again, to prevent any nefarious actors from just simply dumping and crashing the price of the token, or just ruining the token generation event for the masses. And then there's going to be a second unlock, which is going to be for those participants that chose not to participate in the LBA. And so we'll get into some details of that. So first, really in order for us to be able to articulate what is the what's the logic behind a 10 million LVN airdrop and a 35 million LVN lock drop, is we have to talk about what are the goals of each of these stages, because between both of them, those are the majority genesis event of the tokens. So the airdrop is in line with the other two Delphi projects. Mars airdropped 10 million tokens. I don't remember exactly how many Astroport airdropped, but it was a similar vein. So we went with a similar number based on the feedback there. We were also very, I think it was much more for Astroport, but that was actually turned out to be a mistake because 40% of the Astroport tokens were never claimed. They were just distributed to ghost accounts or accounts that are not really following or keeping track of anything. And, you know, so they don't help to bootstrap the network. And then if you look at how many whales received the airdrops, because it was just pro-rata distribution to Luna stakers, so you ended up with a significantly less than 10 million tokens were actually distributed to the core community of Astroport before Astroport launched. Then if you look at Mars, you can do a similar analysis. And, you know, obviously it's a lot of this is subjective analysis, but one way that you can crunch the numbers is that around 6 to 7 million tokens were distributed to core community members of Mars before the Mars airdrop occurred or during the time of the Mars airdrop event. So we wanted to outperform both of those, and that's where the number of 10 million came from. So it's if not 30% better, then it's 50% better than, you know, the previous other implementations. Now, if we get into the lock drop, so what's the goal of the lock drop? Is, and I'll pause again for a quick sound check. Anybody now having trouble hearing me? Because I am getting messages through. I am getting messages through WhatsApp that people are having trouble hearing me. So can I get a WhatsApp?
Because, yeah, it's pretty strange because I can hear you perfectly, but I also see the same messages. So if somebody in the audience can just let us know if they're still having problems. Jonathan, are you still using Bluetooth in your car?
No,
or are you just directly on your phone?
No, I switched. I managed to get Bluetooth off, and now I'm on AirPods. So I can.
Okay, so if anybody is here on Twitter and wants to just raise their hand, we'd love to hear if you can hear. Otherwise, I guess we should just keep going.
I am very low. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay. Maybe I'm not sure what we can do, but if we can get some other feedback, you know, happy to explore that as well. So I hear. I own land in saying that they hear me okay. So I'm just going to continue forward. All right.
I can hear.
So, yeah.
Just letting you know. Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks, Jay.
Yep. And Jay is a very, very talented member of our lore team. So it's good to hear your voice on here. So the, okay, lock drop. Every exchange needs liquidity. Liquidity is, liquidity. I heard from one of my mentors, who is a hedge fund manager that's managing over $10 billion of capital, that liquidity cures cancer, teaches you how to dance, and cures wrinkles on your forehead. So obviously these are all jokes, but because I wouldn't use liquidity as a method for curing any of those things. But the moral of the story is that most problems that a trader faces can be solved with ample amounts of liquidity. So traders are constantly looking for the place with the appropriate amount of liquidity in order for them to bring their capital. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because the places that traders bring capital collect the most fees. That fees ends up becoming liquidity. And then you get a snowball effect with this positive flywheel where wherever you end up, whichever exchange ends up becoming the principal sink for liquidity, ends up attracting the largest traders, ends up attracting the largest fees, and then just continues with their lead. And it's very hard for second and third and fourth place to catch up. Now, obviously, crypto is growing rapidly. So, and we see on Ethereum, there is Uniswap and there's SushiSwap, and we see on other layer twos, and, you know, there's plenty of blue ocean. So it's not only it's not only for the prom queen, so to speak. There's rooms for second place, but the opportunity that we have at Lavana is to create the premier perpetual swap with the largest amount of liquidity, which in the terms of perpetual swap, perpetual swaps don't have the same capital inefficiencies or capital requirements as automated market makers, AMMs. So with an automated market maker, if you want to have a market, you need to, if you want to have a market with $10 million of depth of liquidity of whatever it is token, let's call it, Beach Dragon token. So we need actually $10 million of Beach Dragon and we need $10 million of stable coins. So you need $20 million in order to have the Beach Dragon market. Now, that's incredibly capital inefficient. Now, if you wanted to have that same market on perpetual swaps, you actually don't need any of that. You need a fraction of that. What you need is something called a risk pool or a risk fund. Now, that risk fund acts as a security against either bad debt that's collected by the platform or asymmetric rewards, which over a short period of time need to be paid out to traders on the platform. Now, when you're talking about attracting whales, the only way to attract whales is to build up this ample amount of liquidity, this ample size risk fund. Now, Lavana is targeting a $50 million risk fund, which is a serious challenge. It is hard to convince hedge fund managers and to convince venture capitalists and to convince whale degens to put in and lock up $50 million into a perpetual swap because they're taking a risk. That's why it's named a risk fund. So the way that you get them to do that is essentially you bribe them. And what do you bribe them with is the lock drop. So the lock drop is a farming event. It's a distribution event to encourage an 18-month lockup. And that's why it's weighted. It starts at 3 months and then it grows up until you hit an 18-month max, and there's bonuses for locking up for longer periods of time. But each of these tranches of locked up funds then becomes the backing that gives comfort to institutional or professional traders to come and trade on your perpetual swap platform, which is the backbone and the goose that lays the golden egg of the entire Lavana ecosystem. Without a successful perpetual swap, everything else that Lavana wants to accomplish is going to be orders of magnitude more difficult. So our first goal and our first focus is to bring to market a successful perpetual swap within the Terra ecosystem. Now, and that's why we've allocated the 35 million tokens to accomplish that. Now, once those what happened? Let's take a pause and let's look at what happened with Mars. So with Mars, there was 50 million tokens that were used to lock up 200 million UST of stablecoins into Mars's liquidity pool. Now Mars needs that money in order to lend out, so that borrowers can actually come to the platform and borrow significant amount of capital. So they've got the same chicken and the egg. I mean, it's a slightly different model of chicken and the egg, but at the end of the day, it's the same challenge that unless you've got a way to kickstart the bootstrapping, you slow down your progress significantly. The next goal of the token generation event is to create a liquid token on an easily accessible market. So obviously, again, because we're part of Delphi and Delphi incubated Astroport, but also because Astroport is the cornerstone of the AMM, the automated market maker of the Terra ecosystem. So our goal is to create a liquid token that allows for people to be able to enter or exit into the position of governance ownership of the Lavana protocol or the Lavana ecosystem. The only way that that's possible is if there is a deep liquidity pair on an AMM, the AMM Astroport. So now we come into a problem, and I apologize that I'm bouncing around a lot in terms of the concepts here, but let's talk back as to what happened and what we learned from Mars. So when Mars had their lock drop, and they had the 50 million tokens distributed, so only about 13 million tokens of the 50 million was contributed into the liquidity bootstrapping auction. That meant that that 37 million was free to essentially just click a button, be redeemed on day one of the launch of the protocol, and then to be subsequently dumped into the market, which now obviously not all 37 million were dumped into the market, but a non-trivial amount were dumped into the market. And there were some challenges with the website going live and people accessing early through the smart contract directly, which created customer confusion and asymmetric opportunity, where if you were a large whale, you could exit your position and dump those tokens earlier than the general market. And I hear that it looks like Beach is kicked out of the conversation. So is there an admin? Do we have an adult in the room that can let her back in? Because it's definitely not me. So I'm going to continue forward. So what we did with the liquidity, with the lock drop, is we decided, you know what? It doesn't make sense for people to be able to just redeem their tokens immediately. Not only should they get the tokens over a long period of time, meaning 100 days, but they should be incentivized to participate with the rewards that they got from the airdrop and the lock drop. They should be incentivized to participate in the LBA, the liquidity bootstrap auction. And so we've created this two-tier distribution event where if you participated in the LBA with the tokens that you got from the airdrop or the lock drop, so then you exit, your tokens are redeemed in the first tranche, which is day 1 to 100. If you decided that you didn't want to participate in the LBA because you didn't want to be exposed to the market fluctuations during the token generation event, so then you only unlock on days 101 to 200. So this again allows for everyone, based on their own time preference and their own risk factors and their own calculations, to decide whether or not they want to be part of that first tranche on the first 100 days or part of that second tranche on the second 100 days. But what we've done throughout these 214 days is remove the single point of dumpage, which was very important. And we've incentivized whales, we've incentivized everyone, especially larger players, to participate in the entire token generation event, not just in a portion of it. And that is at the end of the day, you know, the major educational point that I wanted to cover in this, you know, in this Twitter spaces. Now I'll pause here to see if there's any questions around the table or anybody else has anything that they'd like to ask. We can get into more elements. And obviously, look, our DMs are open on Lavana Protocol on Twitter. You can always feel free to write a question there. You know, personally, I'm Madcap Slaff. My DMs are open, both on Discord and on Twitter. I try and answer every message that comes in. At this point, between my responsibilities at Terra and at my own investment fund and my responsibilities at Lavana, so my inbounds are a little bit overwhelming, but I do try to answer every single person that comes in. It might just take a couple days. You can always reach out to the Lavana community on Discord, which is super proactive. The moderators are amazing. The community is amazing. And everybody will be able to answer your questions. So I'm going to pause here.
So I got a
great question. Yeah, anybody that wants to say ask anything.
I got an interesting DM that I want us to address because I think it's an important point. So somebody asked, you know, why they should be interested in us protecting the dumpage when that was, self-reflective interest so that the team can dump. So I wanted to address that because I think it's really important to just address the team lockup and, you know, where we see ourselves and the point for us, to try to discourage the token being dumped is really not for us. It's really for the community. And that's what's motivating us. So if you can speak to that, Jonathan, I think that people would appreciate it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So it was made very clear that both programmatically and contractually, both the team and the contributors, meaning the people that put in cash to pay the team, that both of those pools have the most egregious lockup that you can have in this space. So that means that it's a 1 year cliff, not even from the time of joining the project, but from the time of the token generation event. And this is a strong subtlety that I want to emphasize, that in many projects, you might join a project and then only 8 months and you get a 1 year cliff, but then the token doesn't come live until 9 months later. So really you only have a 3 month cliff because you were contractually enabled to get your tokens a year after your employment. So not true for anybody around the table for Lavana. Everybody came on knowing that it's a fair playing field, that nobody gets tokens early. Nobody gets backhanded deals. There's no secret secondary market, at least nothing that's on chain or actually tangible. Obviously, people could trade private keys and there's literally no way to stop that. But, I would never buy a private key from somebody else. I don't think that's not how blockchain works. So the entire team is locked up for 12 months from the time of token generation event, which has not happened yet. So meaning there's more than 365 days before any of the team members will see a single token. And then that's also true with any of the contributors around the table. So that's Delphi, Doe, Accomplice, Spartan, Woodstock. I mean, there's so many amazing investors. Like, I hate making a list because it implies priority or favoritism. So, but there's, there's like the cornerstone of some of the most innovative blockchain projects. Like the institutional investors have expressed interest and actualized their interest through funding the developers to build Lavana, and we're very thankful. My wife and kids are thankful they pay our mortgage, but none of us have access to tokens before the community does. Everything is designed that the first people that will have tokens by a wide margin are the people that are going to be individually responsible for the success of this project via their participation in the token generation event and the and all of the effort and love and support and blood and sweat and tears and time that they put into the project by sticking around the table, by participating in our GameFi, by helping spread the message, because those are the real VIPs. And they're the people that should have liquidity first, not the hotshot bigwigs behind the table.
I've never been called a hotshot bigwig. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, thank you for clarifying that. That was a great answer, and I think now my DMs are quiet. So it looks like that was the answer that people were looking for. I'm just going to go back onto the Discord and see if there's any other questions that people might have asked that we have missed or things that weren't understood. Oh, I see that the Beach Dragon token is in hot demand. So that's great that we created another token.
Yes. Yeah, it is. Well, what can I say? You're popular.
Oh, and apparently we should name it Cookie. So that's really cute. That's a great name for a token.
Yeah. We can even have like a thing is like, do you accept cookies on this website? Look at that. We have a whole new angle for the lore.
Yeah, I totally think that Meteor Dust cookies is a thing. And I'm pretty sure that if you're in Austin, you're going to get to try them. So All right, so we've been asked, Jonathan, I saw two questions just now in the Discord. One, can you explain what the Levana token is and why somebody should want it? And two, I was asked to walk through for maximum rewards, what would be the gameplay for people? So I want to talk about the NFTs, but if you'll just readdress the Levana token and what its utility is, then I'll answer the NFT question.
Sure. So the Levana token is a governance token, so that means it's a utility token. Meaning, it's not a money. It's it's not a lot of things. So what it is a governance token. So that means that it has governance rights over the upgrades of the platform, the changes of the smart contracts of the platform, and the utilization of the funds and treasury collected through fees of the success of the platform. Now, it also will be used to mitigate risk of the platform, because anytime that you have leverage, obviously there's risk, because leverage implies borrowing. It implies usage of funds that may or may not be capitalized within a system, and so. The Levana token is, relatively speaking, a more complex vehicle. But to talk about the flywheel that's been developed through the multifaceted approach of leverage services. So whenever you collect fees from a platform, those fees go into multi-stage buckets that build up over time. Now, as long as you have successful traders, which means that the system is that the traders make money, and the money comes from one trader to another, and the system is taking a fee on top of that, so everybody's happy. So those fees need to be collected. It's initially into a tier one vault, which is like the hot wallet of the system, which then is moving funds from the losers to the winners, and then it slowly fills up to a healthy level. Now that bucket then spills over and then enhances the risk fund. It tops up the risk fund. Now that risk fund is initially created using UST. Now as that fills up, you know, because of healthy liquidations, because of healthy trading fees, because the exchange is popular and is attracting traders, and is the variables within it as to when partial liquidations happen, when full liquidations happen, the fees, the convergence between the mark and the spot price, which, you know, I apologize if I'm getting too technical for the mechanisms of how perpetual swaps work, but if these things all work as they are designed, then perpetual swaps are literally the most lucrative thing known to man in the crypto trading space. They're far more lucrative than order book spot exchanges. They're far more lucrative than AMMs for many reasons. Now, those fees and those profits that are continuously taken in from the trading, as they fill up the vault and as they fill up into the tier one of the risk fund, which is denominated in stablecoins, then they spill into the LVN denominated buckets. So what does that mean? That all of the extra funds that are collected now don't just pool into the platform in the form of UST. They're actually swapped. They're actually used to purchase LVN off of the market and then stored into the tier two of the risk fund, which now aligns the long-term success of the protocol with the long-term success of the DAO, because the DAO essentially is governed by the LVN token. So the more money that the protocol generates, the more LVN it buys off of the market, thus creating a constant demand buy-side pressure off of the market, and then captures this into the tier two risk fund, which is controlled by LVN governors. And then that, assuming that they don't do anything egregious or inaccurate, meaning that they make good choices as governors. So then, and they don't totally screw it up by being too greedy and just paying everything out to themselves or draining funds or something else nefarious. Assuming that, that those types of, negative black swan events don't occur, and the system is profitable. So then, over time, eventually, every single last LVN token should be bought off of the public market and then owned by the protocol itself. Now, once it's owned by the protocol, it becomes an actual marketing budget. And this is where the token economic methodology of DeFi-tainment, which is pioneered by Levana, actually comes into play. That, and obviously, nobody has to wait until every single last token is bought off of Astroport or off public market. You know, that's just a analogy ad absurdum to illustrate a point. So what happens is that as there's this treasury of funds that are being collected and then constantly converted into LVN through the purchase of LVN based on the trading fees that are received off of the success of the perpetual swap. So then those LVN tokens now can be used as a part of a marketing budget where they can be distributed to new users that come on to participate and to learn about the ecosystem through the GameFi wing of the organization. So that becomes a loss leader to bring people in. Now that in of itself shouldn't be a leaky bucket. And that's where the NFTs come into play. And that's where the leveling up and the consumable NFTs come into play. Now we haven't released, there's a few different NFT plays that are coming into the market. So for example, land is going to be a critical profit generating resource. So land owners on the face of Mars are going to receive some of the emissions and the profits from the from those funds that are collected from the success of the perpetual swap. So that's going to create excess within the tier one risk fund, which then is going to be converted into LVN. And so then that's going to spill over into tier two of the risk fund. And then that the excess from that is going to be used to create emissions for landowners within the GameFi space. And then that LVN within the gaming ecosystem is going to be able to be burned to create bespoke NFTs, which then become consumable aspects within the gaming ecosystem, which acts again as the marketing or distribution wing or comms wing of this entire flywheel. So again, if you want to zoom out, we're kind of recreating how Luna became successful in the first place. We're using the exact same playbook that, you know, demand for UST. It's how does it work? Is that Luna is burned to create UST. And then that UST is useful based on liquidity sinks such as Levana and such as Astroport or Mars or Anchor or all of these other amazing things that are being built on Terra. And so then as demand increases for UST, so then that ends up burning more Luna. So we're taking a very similar token economic model and then just moving it one step up the ladder of saying it's not for a layer one, it's for a specific application, which then is broken up into two tiers, a protocol, which is designed to be profitable, and then a marketing channel, which is designed to acquire users. And then they create a symbiotic relationship where you continue to bring on new users at a lower price point or cost to the entire ecosystem than what can be generated through the lifetime value of the adoption of those new users into the ecosystem that you've created, which then will bridge them into the broader ecosystem, which is Terra as a whole, thus helping solidify Terra's rightful place as the number one blockchain in the entire ecosystem. So hopefully that wasn't overly complex. I've been told many times that I explain things and nobody has any idea what I'm talking about. So
that would be the case now. So we've had a few requests for a simplified, a few being like 20, a simplified like 1 minute synopsis of everything you just said, if you don't mind.
Okay, so let's try again. The perpetual swap makes money in UST and then uses that money to buy LVN and then uses that LVN to get people on TikTok to come and be part, to become and become lunatics. And that's it. And then that LVN ends up getting destroyed. So that's the ecosystem. And that's how the whole thing works. And if it's successful, it's going to be amazingly successful.
Awesome. Okay. I think that was super helpful. Thank you for that. I'm just going back. Thanks, Jay, for the claps. Okay. So I'm just going back now to the Discord. There was a question about a whole bunch of questions about the NFTs that I want to get to. And I do think there was another question about the token, Jonathan, that we didn't address. So give me 1 second.
Go for it.
Okay. So we've had a few questions about land. People would like to know if they can buy land with their LVN. And what is our plan for, the land sale, if you want to talk to that at all. And we seem to have lost Jonathan. So I'm going to speak instead to the NFT questions that were posed in terms of how do you maximize your rewards? So let's imagine a scenario like this. You were lucky enough to win in the meteor shower. You were lucky enough to win a legendary or a few legendaries or legendaries and some ancients, and you've held on to them all this time. They're still meteors. So that is, I recognize like the people want to be collectors, but at the same time, the NFTs were designed to be evolutionary and to evolve. And so we've asked that you evolve with us and help us continue the game to move forward. So that is the reason for only SL visible assets to be rewarded with rewards, because that means that you've evolved and you're continuing to play the game with us. So, you know, people have asked like, well, when did the game start? What is the game? The game started when we announced the first meteor shower. That was the beginning of the game. So if you want to think about it like that, you know, all of these processes until now have been intended to teach game theory, to teach testnet, to teach, you know, the basics of the Terra ecosystem. As Jonathan has mentioned many times before, we're here to be GameFi, but also to be educational GameFi, because we recognize that we need to educate in order to bring people into the ecosystem. And so in order to educate, we need to evolve the NFTs, and we need to get to a stage where there's assets that can be played in the game. Nobody's playing with meteors unless we're throwing rocks at each other, which I guess we could do that, but it's a pretty boring game to play. So
I literally had to tell my children to not do that yesterday. So yes, nobody should be throwing rocks at each other.
Exactly. So that's not the game that we're making. And so that's not the big game with the capital G that we're making. So there will be no rock throwing. So if you are still holding on to meteors, I know that Jonathan's already admitted that he's going to hold on to at least one as a memento. I've cracked all of mine. I'm not holding on to any meteors. And so crack your meteors and see what you got, or sell them. That's totally up to you, but don't leave them as meteors and then be sad when they're not eligible for airdrops. So my recommendation is crack your meteors, figure out what you have, nest your eggs so that way you have maximum spirit level to the eggs that you have. People have asked where the staking will be. So the staking will happen inside of your cave. And to answer, I believe it was Crypto Kurt who asked if there'll be a one button option to just stake everything that's stakeable. The answer is yes. We already that's in the product spec and design. So there will be an option to auto kind of stake everything that's available for staking. So you won't have to go through, if you have a lot of dust, which I know some of you are collecting, you won't have to go through and pick out each dust and then stake that individually. So you will be able to stake everything at once. And then the other option, obviously, is once you've staked all of your assets, we are moving forward with genetic modifications. So right now the plan is that you'll be able to genetically modify before the staking will go live. So that way you'll be able to add more spirit level, obviously, to your dragons, but it won't really matter so much. But although, you know, as long as your eggs are nested, so they get that bonus, we're not going to have an additional bonus for genetic modification. So if you have it in spirit level in dust, or you have it attached to your dragon, it's still going to be overall spirit level. So you're going to be fine there, in case you were worried about where the spirit level is going to be. So that's just a matter of having all of your having all of your meteors cracked and having all of your eggs nested that are available for nesting and having everything in your cave, meaning having everything in your wallet. If it's on Random Earth, if it's on Luart, if it's on one planet, it will not count. And we will do a snapshot. The snapshot will allow us to make sure that there isn't any attempts to profit from various strategies that people use to profit from airdrop strategies. So
did you know that there's a bunch that Binance, the exchange, has a bunch of Lavana NFTs? I don't know why, but like the Binance, like we were, Flipside mentioned this to us. They're like, did you know that like a bunch of people sent them to Binance like wallet addresses? So if you have sent it by accident to your Binance address, you're not getting anything for that. And if CZ, if you're listening, I'm sorry, I'm not sending you anything.
So let's just recover and remember that, you know, there was a reason that we played the games on testnet in the Faction Wars. One of them was so that you would, recognize that you shouldn't be sending NFTs to random addresses before checking them many times. So if you accidentally, you know, sent your dragon card to the wrong address or you sent it to the contract address, et cetera, let's not be doing that on mainnet. So please don't be sending your NFTs to Binance because you can't get them back. The staking contract is pretty straightforward. You will be able to still see them in your cave. As we've mentioned, you'll be able to still play other Lavana games with them. So they'll be available to you in your cave. Obviously, you won't see them anymore in your wallet. So the only view that you'll be able to see your NFTs in is in your cave on dragonslavana.finance. So then we come to the Faction Wars. So, you had the opportunity, in case you don't own any Lavana NFTs that have any spirit level, then you'll be able to get rewards from your Faction War participation. And if you notice, there is a scoreboard which lists a whole bunch of activities that you can do and things that you can participate in. Some of them were time-bound. Some of them were, activities that if you were here from the meteor showers, like nesting an egg and cracking a meteor, et cetera, were easier for you to do then than they are possibly now, or cheaper, I should say. But every single one of those things was something that you could do if you joined the Faction Wars at the beginning. Obviously, you'll be getting a percentage in terms of participation and the activities that you've completed. So let's imagine that you join the Faction Wars today. You're obviously going to get a lower percentage of base points and then also reward points because you can't play Dragon Cards and you can't play in Malus Chasma, right? Although you still could crack a meteor and nest an egg and you can still play Salim's Adventure and you can still go onto the Discord and you can still send a tweet. There's all sorts of things that you can do, but there's all sorts of things that you also can't do. So there's both time bound, as in people will be rewarded for being in the Faction Wars from the very beginning, and they'll also be rewarded for the actions that they've taken during the Faction Wars. So we're going to both reward time and participation. But when people have asked me, like, is it better to unstake and then join a faction that might win versus staying in the faction that's clearly going to lose, Terrence, maybe. The poor Terrence, you guys, I really feel for you. I had such high expectations. Well,
what's funny is that when we wrote the story, we wanted to kind of capture some of the different personalities that were prevalent within society as a whole, and also within crypto, because crypto is to some extent like just a black mirror on the general population of humanity, but just it's like one of those mirrors at like a carnival that's like all twisted, so you see all the features kind of overly exaggerated. And so it was amazing for me personally to see so many people that I knew gravitate to the different factions based on their personality traits. And now personally, I've always been rooting for the Terrans. It's the whole story here that what we're trying to do is to create the success of the Terrans. And what I've always seen is that the biggest blocker for the Terran success has been the Terrans themselves. And I don't want to get, overly political or overly, sentimental here, but personally, I just want to go on the record saying that, you know, that in the story, I'm one of the founding council members, but in my heart, I've always hoped that the Terrans would figure out a way to solve their problems and to just pull through. So
I do want to call out and say that, you know, you haven't really come out until now and stated your, you know, where your heart lies, but Jonathan has been a eternal Terran supporter. And it's interesting actually, because the Terrans are the biggest faction and yet they're unable to really make use of that power. So it is, I think, an interesting analogy potentially to society and also to the worker class. And we see the effects of that on society and our inability to potentially rise up. So anyway, if you're a Terran, and kudos if you're a Terran, I really appreciate and I applaud you. So if you're a Terran and you're feeling discouraged and you feel like there's absolutely no way that you or your faction are going to win, I want to emphasize that this is really not about being the winning faction. It was about being a faction that participated. So there isn't such a huge difference between the winningest faction and the losingest faction. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that being a longtime participant of the losing most faction is going to be more valuable than being a very short-term participant of the winning most faction. So I think I've said that basically from the beginning. I want to reiterate that now. Loyalty is rewarded. I think loyalty in life and stability and longevity are things that are important. Also in crypto, you know, I think that we've all seen that hodling and having diamond hands is always better than having paper hands. So that's going to be the same thing in the faction wars. So if you're loyal to your faction, it's going to pay off more than if you, you know, leave now and get a new talisman and stake it tomorrow. Having said that, if you aren't in the faction wars at all and you haven't played, then we welcome you. We invite you. We've had 500 new players join us just in the last 2 weeks alone. And we do have the Trade Wars coming, which is going to be a really fun trading competition on our perpetual swap platform on Testnet. And we also have an additional surprise, which is called Alchemy. And I'm not going to tell you any more about that, but it's explosive and it's going to be really fun. So we do have two more pretty big events happening in the Faction Wars before they're over. So if you haven't joined us yet and you're looking for a really fun experience on the blockchain, then check it out. You can come to the blog or you can check out at factions.lavana.finance and get a talisman and join us. So I hope that that answers the question about how to maximize your NFT rewards in terms of the airdrop. I'm just going to go check the Discord one more time to see if there's anything else that I've missed. And again, we invite everyone that's here and listening. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I know this has been a really long AMA, but if you have a question, you're welcome to either post it in our Discord chat on the general channel, on the channel that we opened specifically for this AMA, or you can come on here and just request to be a speaker. It should be in the lower left-hand side of your phone screen. You can only request to speak if you're on a phone. It doesn't work if you're on desktop.
I'm just scanning through here to see if we've got any friends that you know should come up and say hi. So, you know, Church, you're always welcome to come up and say hi. Let's see who else we got. IonLan, how's it going? Shout out to you. Let's see.
Oh, I want to talk about the Orion staking and the Lavana staking, Jonathan. If you want to speak to them.
Well, so the idea here is that. That nothing in Lavana is designed to be a one-trick pony. We're not creating something that is around a specific event, and that's something, you know. There is not another protocol within Terra, and I'll go so far as to say within the entire crypto ecosystem that ships at the quality and frequency of Lavana. Sometimes at the detriment to the health and sanity of the devs, the product team, the designers, and our loved ones. But the idea here is that as we build a strong community, that we should have, we should be able to leverage that community by providing value to the community, meaning that Dragon Riders, people that are staking Lavana GameFi assets, that they should be receiving, premium access to other protocols as well through the partnerships that we negotiate. And so the one of the first such partnerships is Orion, that will be giving boosts and bonuses to Lavana stakers. Now, we also have another, I think in the pipeline, another three announcements which will come out. I don't want to talk about a time frame on it, because I want to make sure that there's enough time for the business development team and, you know, and partnerships to work out all the details and not feel pressured. But the idea is that there should be a continuous announcement of new benefits and really VIP treatment that comes to Dragon Riders within the Lavana ecosystem. And that's going to be something that, as we build the community as stronger and stronger, these will just become natural. So we get to a point where, if you launch a new protocol, then the first people you're going to pick up on the phone to say, hey, how can I offer VIP treatment to your community, is going to be to the Lavana Dragon Riders. And that's the strength of community. And that's the power that I really think that we bring to the table, and that we can actualize through creating the cohesive unit, which is the Dragon Riders that we're working on. And then the strong BD resources that we brought around the table to date.
Agreed. Thank you for answering that. And I do want to clarify something. Apparently there was I just see it now, that the image that was used for the boost of the NFTs is wrong. It says on there staking.lavana.games. That is not a website that's live, and it will not be the website. It's not where you're going to go to stake your NFTs. So NFT staking is probably going to go live in about 2 weeks. So there shouldn't have been a website on the bottom of that image. So I apologize for the confusion if you were looking at the blog and got confused by that.
Oh, and I'm sure that was staking, my fault. Yeah,
I wasn't going to say that.
Yeah. I take full credit for that. But we'll make sure that it redirects. So anybody that bookmarked the website, it'll go.
Yeah, so it is going to redirect to your cave. You're going to stake from your cave. All the functionality is going to be in your cave. You're going to be able to see your NFTs even while they're staked in your cave. You know, you can download your PFP and use it as your profile, etc. So it's not going to go away. It's not going to disappear. It's not going to be the same experience that you've had, like the talisman, where you can't see it and you may have forgotten that you actually have it. So here it's going to show up in your cave. You're going to be able to see them, but they will be staked into a contract for a period of 6 months. And I want to clarify, I also just want to clarify about the 6 months. People have asked me, is it like a 6 month period where it starts at 6 months and then you can lock up for 3 months if you start 3 months later? No, it's a 6 month lock. So if you want to stake your NFTs, you'll have to stake for 6 months. Whenever you start, it will still happen for 6 months.
Yeah, so that's going to be built into the contract. And I want to say that one of the amazing things that the team has done is really take an MVP, minimal viable product, an iterative approach. So if you look at, you know, what was the first thing that we brought to market? It was the gamified NFT drop. And then it was the cave for cracking, and then for nesting, and then for Salim's adventure. And then each one of these projects allowed for the development team to learn a new skill and to introduce a new educational element to the community. So through each of these things that we brought to the table, it's been a growing and learning event, both internally and externally. And so that's what I'm super excited about, is that at the end of the day, one of the things that challenges so many that prevents so many people from success in an emerging industry. And I was lucky enough to be in the mobile industry writing apps for the Palm Pilot, which some of you, I'm sure, have no idea what that is. And then, I mean, literally, like, the first software that I ever wrote was I think the first software that I wrote was on a TI-82 calculator when I was 11 years old. I wrote Snake. But moving forward, and so, I mean, I guess you know, my background is in mobile first, as funny as that sounds. But the looking at building in the first developers that came into mobile back in 2007, everybody had imposter syndrome because nobody felt they were qualified really to build, you know, quality apps for Apple and then for Google. And then when Ethereum launched, all the developers, you know, all of us were working on, and we had imposter syndrome because we were like, you know what? We don't know how to build Ethereum apps. We have no idea what we're doing. And then now, you know, Gen 2 of blockchain came out, you know, with these different scaling approaches, and then with the methodology of like what's good coding practices and bad coding practices, and now how do you audit, and then how do you run simulations, and then and different models, and then you know, and this is kind of like the 2018 and, you know, arguably 19 version of smart contract development. And then now we've got, you know, the whole Cosmos ecosystem that we're working with now, and the whole Rust generation that we're developing now. But still, we're filled with very talented developers that are just full of that are really handicapped by feeling like they're not worthy and they're not ready. And what we've done at Lavana is to try and create and encourage an ecosystem of a core team that can grow with the community. And I just want to give a shout out to all of the guys and gals around the table that have released literally at this point hundreds of thousands of lines of code and lost so many hours of sleep to bring just delight and surprise and entertainment and excitement to all of you that are listening and will continue to do so. And one of the value drivers that we've done this entire process with is that we're learning as we go, we're experimenting as we go, and we are committed to just doing everything that we do better than what we did previously. Now, this means we're going to make mistakes. It means that we're going to struggle. It means that we're not always going to get the numbers right. But what it also means is that we're always we're always constantly keeping your best interest as our users and our community members at the top of our mind.
Thanks for that, Jonathan. I wanted to call out, we do have a lot of people around the table listening. I wanted to call out, if you're not in our Discord, or if you are in our Discord, first, you should join our Discord. It's a really wonderful, welcoming, fun community with a lot of very real and interesting conversation. We don't have a good morning brigade, and it's great. The second thing I wanted to just say, thank you to our mods, our volunteer mods who go above and beyond every day. I don't think any of them have slept for like the last 6 months. To Zachary, to Premier John, to Running Cut, to Ken Requiem, to Church Key, to B-Bands, to DG. You guys are awesome. You know, you are the reason that the community is the way that it is. And I really just want to say thank you. It's been such a pleasure to get to know you, to see you grow as people, as community leaders. It's great. And if you haven't joined our Discord yet, you know, you feel like you're too old for Discord, or it's not a place that's fun, or it's just a shill factory. We are a no shill, no spam, no whitelist project. And we continue to live by those values. So you're not going to get shilling from us. It's just really funny conversation, some good memes, a lot of laughs, and a really supportive WAGME community that I think all of us can benefit from. So it was important to call out and say thank you. So really, thank you to all the moderators. You guys do an awesome job. Okay, we seem to have lost.
No, I'm here.
Oh, no, you're back. Okay.
Yeah. I just cut out for a second there. So okay. I think, I mean, we've been on for an hour and a half now. Amazingly, there's still 145 people here. I was just yelled at that I'm 4 minutes late to a developer call. So I have to give some feedback to devs that are building amazing things. So I think this is a good time, at least for me, to gracefully exit. And I want to thank everybody who came to listen, and again, just emphasize the openness and humility that surrounds the project. And you're always welcome to reach out and communicate with us. I have a Calendly link, which
usually takes about 3 weeks to schedule it because it's pretty blocked out, but I'm always open for, you know, a 20-minute call with anybody who has something interesting to talk about. Apart from that, you know, we just really value the community, and we recognize that there's so much noise in this space, and the fact that you chose to spend, you know, the last hour and a half listening to us really means a lot to us.
Absolutely. Jonathan, if it's okay, I'm just going to stay on. I want to answer two questions that I see in the Discord with regards to the NFTs. And I recognize you have to go to that dev call. So,
all right. See you, John. Love you, John. See you in Austin, John.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye. All right. So I'm just quickly going to answer two questions and then I think we'll close this out. So there was a question asked about the caveat statement that said that, you know, if you have not behaved correctly, it's possible that you won't be eligible for the airdrop. So I do want to say that two things about that. One, if you're somebody that has behaved in a malicious manner towards the protocol or others, I think that you know who you are. And we've probably been in contact already. And that should speak for itself. So if you have not done anything malicious towards others or towards the protocol, then it's not something that you need to worry about. If you have, then you know who you are, and that statement was directed at you. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that there was a request to know more about the mystery NFTs. So, you know, part of the fun, part of the adventure, part of the journey is if we revealed it all at the beginning, like if in September of last year, you know, we had come and said, okay, here is the roadmap, and we had put everything down and said, all right, we're going to have faction wars, and we're going to have, you know, this cool nesting thing, and we're going to have talismans, and we're going to have different factions even, I'm not sure that people would have had the same level of excitement. I think that there's a certain level of excitement that happens when you crack a meteor. There's a certain level of excitement that happens when you nest an egg. And there's a certain level of excitement that I'd like you all to experience when you lock up UST and LVN and get your mystery NFT. So we have lots of different things planned for the future. We have lots of different experiences planned. I will just say that, you know, everything that my team does is intended to surprise and delight the community. You know, as you heard before from Jonathan, we don't sit and work and think about, you know, how can we do things that benefit the team, or how can we do things that benefit, you know, some other entity, or we think about things that will benefit the community and make it a fun experience and journey, and obviously profitable and rewarding. So with that in mind, you know, you've seen a lot of preview art, of concept art, of, you know, whether it be animals or dragon snacks or, you know, other mysterious items that you might need in order to continue to evolve your dragons. So obviously we want you to continue on the journey with us. So you can imagine that, that the things that you'll be receiving will be, both valuable, they will be, rare, they will be in limited supply, they will be things that you need, and they should be delightful and really fun. And there will probably be a minimum, obviously, because it's not going to be a situation where somebody's going to say, oh, well, I can just lock up one LVN and one UST and call it a day. So there will be a minimum, obviously, that you need to contribute in order to get that mystery NFT. And there will probably be in tiers. So based on the amount that you contribute, it'll be a different tier of rarity and of delight and surprise. So with that, I think I have answered all of the questions that I can answer in the AMA. I want to again thank everyone so much for your time, for your participation, for your questions, and hopefully we will see you next week in the next AMA. Definitely please plan to come to Austin. We have an amazing booth and experience planned. So the Terra Expo is going to be awesome. I hope that you're planning to attend. I think that it's a really unique opportunity to get the Terra community together. And we do have discount codes available. So if you're interested, you can also DM on Discord and we can talk about that. And with that, I'm going to close this out and we'll see you next week. Have an awesome rest of your week, everyone, and have a great weekend. Okay, just kidding. So apparently we're not ending this space. We're going to keep talking as long as I have a voice. So I'm going to invite, I think, Church Key and Zachary, you both wanted to speak. So if you guys just want to request, I would be happy to invite you to speak. And again, if there's anyone else, just send an invite and then I'll invite you to be a speaker, or you can send me a message in the chat, I guess. Anyone? No? Oh, no. We're going to have another situation where I have to listen to myself mumble through this. So again, Church Key and Zachary, if you guys wanted to come up and speak, just send a request so we can admit you. I'm trying to think of Beach Dragon jokes. I don't have any right now. But I do really think that a cookie token is my next project. Okay, sorry. I was on my phone. I didn't have my computer, so I keep having to like switch out and in of this space. Okay, so I don't see that anyone else wants to speak. Apparently, there were requests before, but now they've been canceled. So if you do want to speak, then please send me a request. I'm going to answer with regards to the PDA. When will it have a use case or functionality? And the answer is very, very soon. So I know there's been a lot of really funny memes about me smacking people down for getting rid of their PDAs. I do just want to say like this. Obviously, if you don't have your original PDA, shame on you, then you will be able to use a PDA in the future that you acquire. However, there will be benefits to having the original PDA that was given to you, because obviously when you don't sell the gifts that we give to you, then you get rewarded for that. So I do want to encourage people, like, you know, if you had a situation where you sold your PDA unwillingly or unknowingly or what have you. So I'm going to apologize that you are going to miss out on a few things, but you will be able to get a PDA and use one from the secondary market. It just won't be as special and as awesome, because the P in PDA stands for personal, not for anything else. So, all right, Zachary or Jordan.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for letting me up here. I've been trying for like a half hour. I guess something's been wrong on my end. But going
back to
maximizing the airdrop, I guess I just want to rephrase and kind of re-ask for people who are looking for the best long-term LVN accrual, who don't care about the 1 month, 6 month price action, stuff like that. From reading through the documents, it looks like we'll get the airdrop either from staking or playing or being a lunatic, whatever route you get that from. And then we can put it in the LBA. And then is there then a reward for locking into the LBA that becomes available to put in the risk fund, which releases a reward to put into governance? Or do we have to pick which basket we want to put our LVN in?
Okay, so hopefully I understood your question. But if you lock into the LBA with just your tokens, or with UST, then obviously there's a reward, because that would make sense that there wouldn't be a reward.
Okay,
right. So there's 35 million tokens available in the LBA, right? That will unlock at the, and you'll be able to choose, you know, up to a period of 18 months to lock.
So
if you're not playing the short game, right? And again, I just want to reiterate that we've tried to redesign this. You know, we really deep dive. We did such a huge data analysis project on Mars and on Astroport, and then on other protocols, you know, not in Cosmos and not on Terra, but just looking at typical user behavior, and then an all Terra behavior, and then an all lunatic behavior every time people got airdrops, et cetera. And we really wanted to be in a situation where we could provide the best value long term to Lavana token holders. So both short and long term, I should say, meaning that we didn't want there to be the situation of that initial, initial dump. Which is very typical when you airdrop to a huge community. And so we've really tried to make it so that there's a total incentivization for people to hold. Having said that, obviously there's going to have to be price discovery, right? And the initial period is going to probably have a lot of volatility. But if your goal is maximum rewards, so then yes, take, maximize your faction wars, maximize obviously the spirit level dust and nested eggs that you have, and then use that to stake your NFTs, to lock them up, do the LBA, and that's the best way that you're going to get value here.
Is there a mechanism for, say, you take your airdrop and you stake it in the LBA, you'll obviously have your rewards, part of that 35 million. Is there a mechanism from there in which you can get the rewards earlier to commit them to the risk fund?
You can't get the reward. I mean, you won't be able to get the rewards earlier. No.
Okay, so it won't automatically give you access to those rewards to stake in the risk fund. It'll still unlock at the same rate, whether you're going to put it in the risk fund or just say sell it on the market.
Correct.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Jordan.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
Good, good. First, just want to say I love what you guys are doing at Lavana. It's like, instead of just launching a, you know, perpetuals future leverage trading protocol, it's like you guys are gamifying the whole experience, and that's really intelligent and intuitive. I had a question, and it's a little more, I guess, on the simpler end of things. I hear this talk of, I haven't kept in touch with everything that's going on with Lavana. What is the PDA? I'm doing a quick search. It's like a personal dragon atlas. Was this an airdrop? I've nested my dragon eggs. I'm not sure what to do next at this point.
Got
I haven't
it.
Kept up okay. with the whole thing. So
that's fine. That's cool. So welcome back. And thank you. You know, the gamification is a double-edged sword, right? Because on the one hand, you want to be providing new activities and new adventure every day. On the other hand, it's really difficult to dev that for everybody at every different level of their education and knowledge. And obviously, you know, people have real lives and things that happen, and people go on vacation, or they, you know, have a baby, or they get a new job, or they're, you know, just tuning out of Discord for a month. And so it's hard to always do the right thing for everybody in the community. So, you know, whatever was going on in your life, like, you know, there's no hard feelings if you left for a while and then came back. We have tried in the blog to make it so that if you left for however long, that, you know, along the way, we've tried to like invite people back. So for instance, if you nested your eggs and then from then, you know, you had things going on and you were busy. So we've created this faction war. When you nested your eggs, then you got you got a number of talisman, right? Hopefully you got one from a faction that speaks to you. So I would recommend that you go back to the blog, you read the faction blogs, that you figure out which faction or which factions speak to you. You can stake one talisman per wallet. So depending on which ones you got when you nested, you can obviously buy one on the secondary market, you know, Random Earth, One Planet, etc. Or you can use one of the ones that you received. You stake it at factions.lavana.finance. You join that faction, which essentially, like, you know, puts you into the military wing of that faction. And then you fight with your faction in these faction wars. So there have been a number of activities that have happened in the faction wars that were time-based, such as the dragon cards, such as the Battle of Malus Kasba. So you won't be able to do those activities, but there are tons of mini games, 5 mini games that we've released, including, you know, Salim, Iraq Attack, Luna Quest, etc. So you can play all of those games. You can tweet, you'll get credit for the, if you use the same wallet, for having nested and having cracked a meteor. And there's new things coming. I mentioned alchemy and also the trading wars. So there's ways to make your talisman valuable. And what will happen is there are rewards for participating in the faction wars, and those will be put onto your talisman. And then at the end of the faction wars, you'll be able to unstake your talisman and claim that spirit level and stake that NFT and get the airdrop from the talisman. So I would definitely encourage you, if you have talisman that are just sitting in your wallet now from nesting, to, you know, choose a faction, decide on it, stake it, join the faction wars, catch up, play the games, and you'll still, you know, get a pretty reasonable reward for just having been a participant. So that being said, I just want to go back for one thing, which is that there was a game, an activity, let's call it, in the Discord called Choose Salim's Adventure, which is a Discord game, which once you join a faction, you can then Lunar Link in Discord to your faction. It checks basically which talisman you've staked, and then it assigns you to the faction chat, etc., of your faction. So we have specific faction chats and faction channels within the Discord, and they can obviously help you, you know, figure out, like when we were doing the Battle of Malus Kasba, for example, which was a live blockchain game. So it's really important to have the support of your faction and to know sort of what you're doing. So definitely use your faction channel for that. And they can give you insights and help you with like ciphers and other things. So that we might assign as, you know, part of the quests. So once you do that, once you do the choose the Looms adventure game, so then you get a PDA as the prize for completing that game. So that's a Discord based game. So you just need to go into the Discord, complete that game. And then we mint about every week or 2 weeks. So we just had a mint for the PDAs on Sunday. So everybody that had completed Choose Salim's Adventure in the last 2 weeks received a PDA. I believe that was another 167 players. If I'm not mistaken, we've minted about 2,000 of them at this point. So we'll mint PDAs again for those of you that haven't played Choose Salim's Adventure yet. So I encourage you to, again, Lunarlink, go into the Discord, make sure that you have done that and only after you've staked. If you haven't staked a talisman, that is not what you'll receive in your mint. So the personal dragon atlases are only available to people that are part of factions, that are members of a faction. I hope that that was clear. And then we'll mint probably in another week and a half, something like that. So hopefully that helped, Jordan. And now, you know, you have a little bit of time and you can rejoin the game.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure. And definitely use the blogs. You know, we do try to update and keep everybody informed via the blogs about what's happening and, you know, how to join and how to catch up, et cetera. So there should be like a Join the Faction War blog, if I'm not mistaken, that came out last week. And that is a great place to start. All right. Cy Duck You. I feel like maybe that is, maybe it's not. Okay. Anyway, Cy Duck You, if you want to come off mute.
So my question is that, how is the PDA associated with? Is it associated with the wall or is it associated with the talisman? And two, is the PDA going to be used during this faction war or will it only be used for future uses?
So this PDA is not going to be used during this faction war, but you will be granted things on your PDA as a result of this faction war. Let's say. Okay, so personal dragon atlas, we played dragon cards, we played the Battle of Malus Kazma, like we did other things that will be associated with your personal dragon atlas. Okay, so like Malus Kazma was a map, dragon cards were about dragons. So hopefully I've given you enough alpha there to figure that out. And in terms of the PDA, what it's linked to right now, it is currently linked to your wallet. So it would need to be from the wallet that originated it. It would need to still be in that wallet.
Okay, sorry about that. So we couldn't like put it in a ledger then if we decided to get a new ledger, like that wouldn't count as the original PDA, right?
No, it won't. So, there will come a time where basically I'll say, okay, you know, we finished minting on the PDAs for now. And then you could move it the same way with your talismans, et cetera. So we're going to have it, you know, there's going to be an issue of let's call it like ownership and legacy, and then it will end. I understand that a lot of people, due to all the malicious actors and breaches that have happened, want to move to ledgers. We just have no other way of verifying and vetting what's happening without using origination wallet addresses right now. So the minute that we can move off of that, we will. But for as long as the faction wars are running and as long as, you know, we're in a situation where you've staked to like an original wallet, I can't really move because that would not work, right? You can't unstake to a different wallet. That would never be possible.
Yeah, no problem. Just was curious as to how the dynamic of that would work. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so that's the dynamic. And again, we do recognize that, you know, people are taking their security more seriously, which we absolutely applaud. So what I've said to other people is, you know, if you're concerned, if you feel like your wallet's been compromised, if you're not sure, you know, the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to lose credit for cracking a meteor, nesting an egg, et cetera, but it's not worth it. You know, you can replay most of the other games. It's not worth it if you're concerned that you're going to lose your dragon eggs, for example. I wouldn't leave them there. So we had that instance where somebody felt like they were very suspicious that their wallet had been compromised. And they said, you know, should I move my eggs or should I leave them? Because I want to get credit for having nested an egg. And I said to them, you've got to be kidding me. Like, if you're nervous, you're going to lose your eggs, then move your eggs. That's not even a question. You know, obviously, I have no way of verifying that that person is really the owner of that wallet, et cetera. So it's not something that I could give them credit for, even as much as I might want to. But I certainly don't want them to lose their eggs just in order to get points for having nested an egg in the faction wars. That's not worth it to me. So hope that that's clear. And again, I just want to reiterate that, you know, no one from the team will ever DM you unless you're being inappropriate on Discord. No one will ever ask for your seed phrase. You should never give your seed phrase. And if you're searching for something, I know that we do have a lot of URLs in Lavana. And so I know that the malicious schemes that have been happening recently on Terra, specifically to Anchor, and I think also to Mirror, there were these fake sites that went up and they had Google ads running. And so if you did a search for Anchor Protocol, you got to a malicious site. And so then you connected your wallet and they stole all your money, which is absolutely terrible. So please make sure that you only use links and the official links in the Discord, or that, you know, you type them in yourself. We are not running Google ads. We are not on Binance. We are not running an IDO. So all of those, you know, suspicious links are usually malicious actors, and we want you to be secure and we want you to retain your assets. And we certainly don't want to be, you know, ever involved or associated with anything that threatens your security. So please just in general, you know, practice good security hygiene. Don't click on links. You know, even if it looks like somebody's just like posted a YouTube link, I really discourage you from clicking on links in people's Discord channels, unless it's in their official link channel. And, you know, we all need to be careful. Like, you know, people that send Telegram links, et cetera, they get really annoyed when I refuse to open them. But that's good security hygiene. We should all be practicing that. So sorry for that little soapbox rant, but I was really sad to see, you know, people that clicked on an Anchor Protocol link in a Google ad and had, you know, a malicious event and lost all of their assets. It's terrible. And I can't imagine how stressful that was for them. So if it can help one other person avoid that, then I'll give you my little soapbox speech of security. So please be responsible. All right. I don't think that there's any more requests to speak. And I'm just going to go for 1 second to check the Discord. So imagine that I'm playing, like, you know, elevator music for a second, and I will be right back, and then we'll see. Otherwise, we'll close this out. Okay. Thanks for your patience and listening to your imaginary elevator music. So I don't see any new topics of conversation in the AMA chat on Discord. So I'm going to say good night from my part of the world. It's good night for you. It might be good morning. I'm wishing you all a great weekend. Thank you again so much for joining us. Our DMs remain open. Come and join us on Discord. You can always DM me or Jonathan or the protocol itself at the Lavana Protocol Twitter handle. We're happy to speak with you. We're always interested in what you have to say. And again, I just want to thank the community mods and also everyone that's come and joined us today. It's been great to hear your feedback and your suggestions. And, you know, just remember that Lavana, whatever we're building is always with you in mind. So if you feel like we've done something wrong, or we've made a mistake, or we had a misstep, please let us know. All right. And with that, have a great weekend, everyone, and see you next week. Cheers.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Lavana Protocol Token Generation Event Space, recorded on Thursday, April 28th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
Laying there at night while I'm counting sheep. Brain on repeat, no amount of please. Would you shut the fuck up? Yo, I'm trying to sleep. Not till you write it down to remind your genius ass in the morning. When you wake up to realize it was nothing more than a weird dream. And you feel like everybody's on the tape, but things aren't always what they seem. What's real to me isn't real to you. Living this reality is barely new. And if you've seen this little feud, you'd be filling up your gas tanks too. We're living in a fucking simulation of a simulation. Don't look back or you'll get sucked into the miscommunication. All this dumb fucking ruckus, drink bleach here. Keep a tight demeanor and swing for the bleachers.
This ball is crushed.
I feel like I wanna kick the bucket over, spill the fun, release some of the means of hunting all these silly motherfuckers coming at us like we don't got a bunch of guns or something. These are fucked up times we're living in, and I don't need the judgment. Free the suffer, no need to suffer, the leaders busted. Freedom hunter, disagreements wander. Cold streets filled with screaming bottom feeders. Take me to your leaders, blasting propaganda through the speakers. So if you wanna build, let's build. But if you wanna steal, get buried in the field. Double duty at the Rockin' Rudy, coppin' fruity, not a newbie. Got the rubies hostile, looking like Chewbacca, threw me through the window. Fucking sue me, now I'm looking all hypnotic bougie with a bunch of suckers I went to school with who barely knew me. Students sitting here fucking clueless, looking at the next duck trying to see who the goose is. Should've paid more attention to the hole in the boat. Now tell me why y'all still vote.
spaces.